Blog Talk Radio.
I hope y'all out there listening. I hope everybody tuned in. I'm doing something a little different today. I told JT I'm down here broadcasting live from the Goodman. I'm in my car soaking up air conditioning as I do tonight. For all you who are listening, we have a game tonight, two games tonight at the Berry Farms. If you want to come out and see it, the champs will be on deck. Lincoln Park, my team that I coach, coached to a championship last year. We'll be playing tonight, and Nike will be here videotaping Shaq for an advertisement for the Nike World Basketball Festival, which will be taking place next weekend.
Really?
Friday we will be in the Berry Farms playing the New York Nike Select Team versus the Goodman All-Stars, and then Saturday and Sunday we will be at the D.C. Armory. For a 14 tournament, which will be LA, Chicago, New York, and DC, and may the best person win. The two games will be on Saturday, and there'll be one championship game that will be on Sunday evening, and that'll be inside. So, come down if y'all want to come down. It's free. It's gonna be exciting. We'll get to see a lot. So, anyway.
Before we get into this, in order to get inside the gym, do you need a ticket or you just walk up and when it's filled, it's filled?
No, you just walk up in. It's all free. There'll be no tickets or nothing like that. You just come in. The Urban Coalition. You just come in and show up and come in. From what I know, my outfit is all free. So, until further notice, unless I put something on the website or something like that, it's free.
Okay.
So... I brought the subject up, I guess I did, and for those who don't know, I am independent and I'm conservative as far as my political views. My political views line up with my Bible. I don't believe in church, separation of church and state, in my personal beliefs. I know that's for federal, but for me, life is life. I don't, so... I've been kind of disturbed, I guess I should say, the last couple of weeks about just the things that have been going on in Washington, D.C. The healthcare thing kind of got me a little bit, but I shouldn't have been surprised. Let me say first and foremost before I get into this, I will say this, liberals, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservatives, I think we all agree on the one thing, and I do agree with this, is that people need to have health care and need to be covered. I believe that. I believe in that wholeheartedly. Just like I believe we should give to the poor and help the poor. We should help those who are in need. I believe in that. I think where we differ is in the method and how it's done. And that part, I think, needs to be straightened out. Do I like the bill that Obama has come up with? Absolutely not. I do not like it. Do I believe he has a good heart and wants to help those who don't have health care? Absolutely, I believe that. I think that's a noble cause and a good cause. I think any president should fight for that kind of thing. But I'll start out by saying this bill is horrible. And I just think that those who blindly follow and say this is a great bill don't know everything about it. And I just start out saying that I just think the bill is horrible. I know it is, because, and this will probably piss a lot of people off, unlike most African American people, we don't do our research. We sit in front of the booth tube and we let them dictate to us on CNN, Fox, MSNBC. We let them dictate to us whether something is good or not. And, that's another thing that kind of over the last 2 weeks I've kind of been a little pissed off about, is I'm disappointed in my people. And, my people just follow behind him because he's black. And we got to stop doing that. We have to start following people based on their power.
Whoa. I'll let you talk until you got to that.
I cannot
believe, as a black man, I don't care if you're conservative or not, you actually came out and said something like that, as a black people, we blindly,
I'll admit it. You're right. I shouldn't have said a broad statement. I'll take that back. I won't take the statement back, but I'll amend it.
Okay, amend it.
I'll say it this way. There are a lot of us that are following him because he's black. And whatever he does, we don't care about the policy. We don't research it. We don't go find out what it really is. We sit and let the media dictate to us whether something is good or not, what's in it, what's not, everything else, and we don't do our own research. And that part of it pisses me off.
Well, let me put it this way. I think because you've come across a certain segment of the population, and they happen to be black, and they made the statement to you that because Obama is black, that it's all good, that you, for some reason, think that you can actually make that statement and believe it. I can't believe that you would actually believe that what you're saying are people are ignorant. That's what you're saying.
Hey.
But you're one of them. So how can you actually come out and say that our people are just ignorant and don't have a mind of their own, or just like blind sheep being led from one place to the other, or to vote one way or the other without even any kind of their own thought in mind?
I'll answer you. I'll say this to you. I never said we don't have a mind of our own. I never said we can't think for ourselves. I've never said that. If that were the case, what you just said, then I wouldn't be mad. That's like me being mad at a retarded person because they don't act right. But they have a problem. Let me answer you, Jerry.
Go right ahead.
I'm not saying they're ignorant because they can't help it, because they don't want to. They don't want to know.
Jerry,
let me ask you a question. Wait a minute, Jerry.
I'm listening.
I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. You saw the job numbers today, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 8.2%, yes.
No,
they dropped.
That was 800,000 jobs. That was all that was done in June, which is which is horrible. Okay, which gives you 8.2. Okay,
right.
Do you know, Jerry? And if you know, I'll give you credit. Do you know, Jerry, what the unemployment rate is among African Americans?
Right off the top of my head, no. But I know where I can find it. Let me put it that way.
Where do you find that at?
You can find it on the internet, for one.
Right, absolutely. That's my point. So are you just proving my point? So here's my point. Jerry, it's not that you're ignorant, Jerry. Ignorance is not a bad word. Ignorance means I don't know. Kids are ignorant when they come to school. Kids are ignorant of a lot of things. That's why they go to school for 12 years and graduate and go to 4 years, because they're ignorant of other things to go where they want to go. So ignorance is not a bad word. And I think that's another stereotypical word that we tend to jump back and say, you're saying black people are ignorant? Yeah, everybody can be ignorant. Anybody can be ignorant. But you don't have to stay ignorant, and you don't have to let somebody else dictate to you what you need to know. You have the power to get up and go research and go look and find out if the information is available to you to find out. And what I'm saying is black folks right now, from what I'm experiencing, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing on TV, what I'm hearing in the crowds, what I'm seeing from people, what I'm seeing on Facebook, Twitter, all this other stuff, what I'm seeing is we're repeating what the guy on TV says, but we don't know if those stats are true or not. We can't, because there are too many times that I come at people with facts about something and they know nothing about what I'm talking about. That's ignorant. But it's not that but a lot of people, be honest with you, Jerry, don't want to know.
The fact is, whatever information you got that you relate to someone else, you was able to get that. You may not known the information at the time, just like the question you posed to me, but you went and found out what the information was. Now, just because the person that you talked to, whoever you talked to, didn't know at the time, doesn't mean that they wouldn't want to research it or find out for themselves.
Then, Jerry, you can't make statements of fact and not know what you're talking about. You can't. You just prove my point again. That's what I'm saying. I can't come to you, Jerry, and say, Jerry, you know what? You're part Japanese, and I don't know your history. I don't know. How can I make a statement like that to you, knowing I don't know that for a fact? That's irresponsible. So what I'm saying to you is I can't go around and say Obamacare is great and go around and say, yay, as they did the day that the ruling came down, I'm so proud of my president. Obamacare got through the Supreme Court. That's what y'all get, bitches. Okay, that's what I hear. But if you go ask those same people, and I've asked people who cheered that, do you know what is in that bill? Well, I know people are going to be covered in this, and they're saying the talking points that are on TV. That's what I'm trying to say to you, Jerry. But I'm saying to you, Jerry, my point is that everybody, we've all been a victim of saying things that we're repeating people, and we really don't know if it's a fact. But what I'm saying is this is too important. These things are important enough. This ain't kiddie stuff. This is stuff that we as African Americans need to support. If we're going to support something politically, a bill or something else, we need to know, how does it affect me? How does it affect my children? How does it affect my life? Let me go research and find out what this really is. But we're not doing that. We're making statements and supporting this president on what he's passing, and we should be ashamed, because how can I support a guy who's passing a bill that he hasn't read, that nobody in Congress read, Democrat or Republican? Let me ask you this then.
Do you know part of this, I'm not going to call it Obamacare, because that's not what it's called. It's called the Patient Protection and Affordable Act.
I call it Obamacare because I can't keep saying that over and over again.
Okay, well, I got what you're saying though,
but I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it a derogatory way, but I'm just saying it just as a reference. I got you.
Parts of that act have been in effect 2 years ago. It started 2 years ago. I don't know if you know that or not.
I do know that.
Okay, I just wanted to enlighten the people that are listening.
But I also know that it hasn't been fully implemented yet, and that some of the stuff, premiums have already risen and stuff because of that. But do you also know that since those two, it's already been enacted for 2 years, but did you know that there's a long laundry list of people, of businesses, that have gotten waivers out of it?
No, I didn't know that.
The same people who supported it when it was going through the House, going through the Senate, are the same people who ran through there and said, okay, but I need a waiver out of this. Because they knew what it was going to cost. When they found out what the cost was, people got in line to get out of it. They're opting out of it. They're getting waivers or temporary waivers out of it. What I'm saying to you is this.
Yeah, but there's got to be, and I'm pretty sure there is, a threshold on the amount of people that can opt out of it up to a certain point. Otherwise, the act would be no good at all. And we do have a caller that's been sitting on it for a while, and I think I know who it may be. You want to bring him in or what?
Bring him in. I know who it is.
Yeah, I know who it is, too. Caller from the 240, welcome to the No Chaser. You got Mac and you got Jerry. Who you want to talk to first?
What's up, man? This is Macau. I'll talk to both of y'all. It don't even matter. How y'all doing?
All right.
Good, man.
Jerry, I don't even know where to start. Oh, my God. This is like a smorgasbord for me. I just love this. Anyway, first off, I just like to say, you know, there are some things in this act that, you know, that are pretty puzzling, that I do not like, but overall I do support the act. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing that was a little troubling to me when I was listening to Matt is he was doing the same thing that he was talking about. Now, until you asked him, Jerry, you know what, you know a little bit about the specifics of the bill. He just,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he just did a blanket statement. It's horrible. It's this, and that. And you offered not a shred of nothing. Just not a shred of anything. It's like, wait a minute, hold on, just one second. I'm gonna say one more thing. You just totally went at, you know, people that you consider ignorant or, you know, that haven't researched the act and stuff like that as your whole
mm-hmm.
basis for everything. I mean, I didn't mm-hmm. hear anything. What I want to ask you though, Mac, is tell me some things about the bill that you don't like.
73% of the tax burden in this bill is going to fall on the middle class. That's number one. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. When I look at something, I'll admit, I'm not going to sit here and say I read 2,700 pages. I have not. And the stuff is so confusing sometimes. It's what it is. But I do subscribe to the CBO, which is the Congressional Budget Office. And I've looked at it. And the thing about it, 73% of the tax burden in this bill is going to fall on the middle class. Because if you notice in there, there's certain provisions for people who make $250,000 and above. $250,000 and above. And then there's certain taxes that are going to fall on the middle class. And people say, well, it's only 3.8%. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, but what people don't understand is the middle class is going to fall with all that tax burden on. Rich people ain't got no problem. They got money. They're good. They can opt out, pay cash, whatever. So what I'm saying, the burden's going to fall on us. In the end, it always falls on us. Let's be honest, it does. The burden always falls on us. And I'm not against rich people. Don't get me wrong. I'm far from mad at rich people. I don't blame them for nothing. Because the simple fact of the matter is, this bill has 21 new taxes, stupid, dumb taxes. It also has other things that it's going to cost. They're talking about $1.7 trillion it's going to cost over the 10 years or so. I mean, we're talking about the thing that gets me about it is to think that this thing is going to cost us nothing. It's crazy. And to think that the rich people are going to bear the brunt of it is crazy. To think that, you know, and I'll even go deeper. I'll ask both of you. Name me one program that the government has done that ain't in the red or that is not, or that is running right. Tell me, please. I'm waiting.
It's very, very few. But
it's none.
It's very, very few, and it's almost none. And I agree with you on there. But the thing about it for me is I see what you're talking about as far as it falling on us. But everything else falls on us anyway. You know what I mean? It falls on us anyway, bruh. You know, it falls on us. It falls on us when these so-called rich folks get into these financial instruments and be trading them and make a ton of money, and then their CEOs of these companies get these golden parachutes and they be chilling, and we pick up the bill. You know what I'm saying? So, let me address that for a minute. Let me say this, Steve. And I don't know if you heard me from the beginning. But see, here's my thing. My thing is this. I don't fault a rich person for making investments and losing on investments and making. I don't understand why there's a big deal because I'm gonna be honest with you. Nobody, when you give a golden parachute to a guy who leaves a place and cheated investors, I don't pay for that. You don't pay for that.
Wait a minute.
I'm saying unless I didn't finish. Unless the government bails them out. So you're right in the fact of the housing market, the big crash, whatever that was. Yeah, we did pay for that. That part I'm talking about. But just a couple weeks ago, a guy at an investment place, you know, did some things he shouldn't have done. But that don't cost us nothing. Here's my thing. What I'm saying. I'm not mad at rich people. I don't fault rich people at all. If a rich man can go and invest his money and do something and make money on it and it's legal, I'm good with it. When it's illegal, that's something different. But I think in this society, we need to get off this thing about the rich versus the middle class, the rich versus the poor, and making it seem like rich people are bad people. Just like people are making, you know, Romney out to be a bad guy because he's rich. Well, like I said at the beginning, my politics go along with my Bible. And God never said rich people were bad. He always said rich people should give to the poor and help the poor. So what I'm saying is I'm not mad at somebody, but he also talks about working hard and earning your way and becoming rich. He doesn't talk about just, you know, it's no such thing as rich people are bad. That's what I'm trying to establish. And I'm tired of hearing that argument too, because rich people are not bad. They're not.
No,
if you work hard and work legitimately, you should be able to earn all the millions and billions you want. The funny thing is we don't like rich people that invest their money in investments and stocks and bonds, and we see these people as bad people, these millionaires and billionaires, but yet we worship Jay-Z, we worship all these other people who have come up from nothing and done the same thing the millionaires and billionaires have done. What y'all don't know, and I don't know if you guys do know, but I shouldn't say that, but I don't know if people know this, but most millionaires and billionaires are self-made.
Are we? Right.
I mean, I'm with you there. I understand your point there, but my problem, the issue that I have is, we've just bailed out. A matter of fact, I should just say we did, and our grandkids did, and their kids did. Just paid for some of these dudes to keep playing and parlaying in the market.
Right.
And now,
no, you're right.
And now it's the issue. We saying, okay, look. We want that regulated, and we want to take care of ourselves. If it's gonna cost me for me to be able to take care of myself, guess what? I'll pay. Yeah, I'm gonna be pissed about them, be upset about it, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna have to go ahead and pay. I'd rather pay that than to pay that $780 some billion we just paid out to bail out all these financial systems and stuff like that.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because to me, we should have never done it. We should have let certain businesses fail and should not have bailed everybody out. One thing I do agree with is that we should have never paid that $780 billion.
And see, the only reason I agree with you now, back then, if you had talked to me, I'd have said, no, you got to bail them out.
Exactly.
Now I agree with you, because these same cats is turning all against us, Obama and everybody else, you know, because it's not beneficial to them financially, and I got a big problem with that. I got a serious problem with that.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think it's a turn against Obama just because it's not advantageous. But if you really understand, if you understand what's going on, a lot of Obama's, and I won't even say Obama, a lot of the Democrats
bills and things that they've been passing are crippling the free market. That's what they're against Obama about, because he supports that, and that's what the Democrats are doing. So if you're
I get their argument about you know, less taxes, because I understand that. I'm a businessman myself. You can't you can't establish and bring in business when you got crazy taxes. You know what I'm saying?
And regulations that stop you from doing business.
Right, but see, at the same time, bruh, you can't have it unmanned. You can't have nobody not watching the store. We done been through that. That cost us $790 billion.
And the other side of the aisle is not for regulation of any kind.
No, of any kind. That's the thing that kills me. I understand. Let's make the regulation conducive to business, because we got to keep the eye on the store, Slim. You got to keep the eye on the store.
Right. But the problem is, well, here's the problem. The problem is you got two things that are against each other. One, you have the business people who say you're choking the life out of me and I can't do business, because we're not worried about just taxes. We're worried about the regulations that are going to stop me from doing business and doing business. And let's be honest, the free market, business, small business, medium and big size business, if you really know about it, they are the backbone of this country.
Well,
the top 2% of this nation, the people that we all say we don't like, are the people who pay 70% of the taxes. 50% of this country don't pay taxes, and most of it is the middle class. So to sit and listen to a president who sits on TV and tells me that the rich aren't paying their fair share, and I'm looking at the numbers going like, really? Where you get that one from? So what I'm saying to you is, it's not that the rich don't want no regulation. It's just that the regulations are so much on top of everything else that it stifles business. When you stifle business, what people don't realize, and I think this is one thing that a lot of us, especially African Americans, I think don't understand, is that
I have to say it,
because I don't. Because here's my point. Here's my point when I say that. Just so you don't get offended, Jerry. I say that because I don't talk to white folks every day. I don't talk to my family, my friends, people I know, and stuff like that. I talk to them every day, and most of those people are African Americans. The people I interact and deal with are those people. So I'm not going to make a sweep. So I can't judge white folks, Chinese folks, because I don't talk to them. So I'm telling you what I go through every day, what I talk to, what I talk about, what I see. So what I'm saying to you is that what I think we don't understand is that we've never gotten a job from a poor person, ever. We've gotten jobs from rich people. So they're the people who keep this economy really going. But what we don't understand is, I understand what he's saying when he's saying, I don't want, you know, they don't want no regulation. It's not that they don't want regulation, but you don't want, there's regulations that watch the store, but then there are regulations that cripple your business. And to be honest with you,
but if you let them tell it, all regulation cripple a business. And that's
exactly
the problem I have. That's
right.
The problem I have. And I'm tired of them, and hold on, and I'm tired of them, you know, using my taxes to pick up the tab for something that was deregulated by a Democrat. Yeah,
right.
I said it was done by a Democrat. It was done by Clinton. I remember.
I remember.
I do my research.
Right.
I don't talk to that many black folks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What I work with is all white folks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm the token black guy. You know, everything black, they come to me. You know, I can't stand none of that. But the thing of it is this, though. I just don't want to, I don't want to feel like I'm getting played and used, and that's what's happening. I don't want to feel that way.
But you're being made, but you know what? To me, we're being made to feel that way because of the media and because of other people. And that goes back to my point. Wait a minute, but that goes back to my point that I was saying to Jerry, is that we as a people have to start going and doing our research and stop listening to just, it's okay to get your news, it's okay to get your opinion and listen to it,
But the thing that I've always done, that my mama always taught me, was when you look at the news and you look at stuff and it puts up there a source, I go to that source. Okay? Today, a guy quoted on TV today that which kind of threw me for a loop, which of course MSNBC and the left leaning guys don't talk about, is the unemployment rate among African Americans. It's ridiculous, and the guy quoted it today. But
that's always been higher than the national average.
I understand that, but my thing is, after 4 years, how can you support a guy when you're not any better than you were? My thing is this. Year one, I didn't say nothing. Year two, okay, I'm gonna give you a chance. Year three, okay, it's time to start taking responsibility. Now we're into our fourth year, dude. Somebody gotta say at some point when we all get a job and we volunteer for a job, and we know the guy behind us didn't do a good job, and you make promises and you volunteer for that job, and you say I'm gonna do this and do this and do this and do that.
But your man ain't coming to get this vote. Jerry, his man ain't coming to get this vote. I feel you. You make a strong argument, but your man ain't coming to get this vote. He ain't coming to get this vote. And the thing about it, knowing what's going on in Congress, this man got an act signed and done.
But here's the question, then I've heard that one before, too. So here's my question, the same question I ask all those people who say, you know, they're blocking him, they're giving him all the stuff they're not doing. What happened the first 2.5 years when he could pass any damn thing he wanted?
See, this is the thing.
That's the truth.
Hold on. I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to also call you out for talking about talking points, but that's a talking point, too, you know.
But that's a Republican talking point. So in the Senate and the House, none of that don't matter. I'm asking you, in the Senate and the House, did he have the advantage to pass anything he wanted? Did he not have a filibuster proof Congress and Senate? I'm just asking. Is that a fact?
He had a filibuster proof Congress. That is a fact. But that's not a talking point. But that is not an argument against what I'm saying. It's not. It's just a fact that you're putting out there. You know what I'm saying? You forget how we had all them turncoats that wouldn't vote for anything. You forget all that, how he had to play through all that kind of crap. I remember
The fact still remains when the man was elected, and people have very short memories. When the man was elected, this is what he said to. He said, this is not going to be fixed in short term. This is going to take a while. It may even take past my administration, and even if I go into the next administration, because what happened to the economy is not a quick fix. It's a slow process, and things need to be fixed. And the fact remains, he's in his fourth year, and everybody expected a quick fix. And in the beginning, the man said it wasn't going to be a quick fix, and this is going to take a while to fix because it took a while to get to the point where we're at.
Jerry, I agree with you. I never said fix. I never used the word fix, but it should improve.
This is a federal government, and you know good and well that things work slowly in the federal government. All the time.
Here's my point to both of you. So when and at what point are we going to stop? When do you become responsible for you as a presidency? Because here's the thing that I know, and I'm a child of the 70s. I was born in the 60s.
Responsible? Oh my goodness gracious.
So wait a minute. So since I've been alive,
Black folks have always not liked the president, the white president. We never did. Always, I heard it. I heard it, okay? Back when we was using honky and crack, yeah, I heard that, okay?
Okay,
so
okay.
So now we hold everybody accountable. We hold everybody accountable, the presidents before Obama, based on their record, what they pass, what they don't pass. This is the only president I've ever seen, the only one, where people will, where black folks will fight, make excuses.
Oh, come on,
and
man.
They
you're
never
not
make
using
a response.
That. You're
not
using that.
Want, you guys
not
have not
that.
Been responsible for anything. What you just said.
What
is,
do you mean? What do you mean? I'm not holding him responsible. I said to you. I said your man ain't came and got this vote, Slim.
Hold on.
I said your man ain't came and got this vote.
Wait a minute. Jerry just basically said what he just said. What he just basically said is he shouldn't be held responsible for what he did. For what he
no,
does,
I didn't say that.
Okay, so
I didn't say that. What I said
so
was
he's not responsible for the job number. He's not responsible for none of that. The same.
I didn't say that.
The job numbers really
$750 billion. If we pass this and do the $750 billion, we won't go over 8%. That's what he said. Has it happened? No. Is he responsible for that?
What about all the other things that he has done? I mean, you just sitting here focusing on this
now we move the goalposts off that and say, but there's a lot of things.
I didn't move
no goalposts. I didn't move no goalposts.
Is
he responsible?
Mac, we have another caller. We've been waiting on the line. You want to bring him in, or you want to keep on going?
You can bring as many people in as you want.
Okay.
I just want to ask y'all a question, though. Is he responsible for what he said for the $750 billion? That's all I'm asking.
Every president, whatever he says.
See what I mean?
Listen to what I'm about to say. Every president, when they make promises or when they make a statement, is responsible for what he says. Okay?
Is Barack Obama responsible for what he said?
He's a president. He's responsible for what he says. Absolutely.
Okay.
He's responsible for
it. I just want to say, if we're going to hold the 43 other presidents, then we need to hold the 44th the way that way,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Right.
You are 100% right. But show me somebody that deserved to vote more than him. Please.
Okay.
Do that.
Okay.
And don't even go to that Mormon, Slim. Don't even look, because I will fry him up.
All right, hold on, guys. We got a call from the 497 that's been patiently waiting to get in here. Caller from the 497, welcome to the No Chaser Show. State your name and your statement or what you got to say.
Yeah, hi, this is Jay Early. I think the gentleman's name was Mac.
Mac,
the Obama
hater.
That's Mac, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
Mac,
Obama
Mac,
hater.
Mac, back up. Just for a second. All right. You said so much. The time is not long enough to attack at all. But let's just go back to what you said about his first 2 years in office. Okay. What did he have to concentrate on when he first came in office? He had to concentrate on two wars that he did not create. One of them was an illegal war that a president should have been sent to jail for, and he was not. And that was President Bush, because all the lies that were told were sent out to Iraq.
We don't say that.
One, he had to fight that war. He had to go to the original place where they should
have
been in the first place, which was Afghanistan. That's the other thing he had to do. Then he had to work out on the bailout, which worked, and we got our money back from the motor industry because that would have been gone. Okay, that's what he had to concentrate on in the first 2 years. So you can't knock him there. The other problem is, if you're really watching the programs that you say that you're watching, this is the only president in history that gets no respect, none whatsoever. They call him everything except a boy to his face. Okay?
Okay.
Now, how can he get anything done when the opposite side of the room's only goal is to get him out of office. They're stopping his programs. If you really watch him, what's going on?
Right. I've never heard anything
bill
like this before in my life.
A year ago. That was over a million jobs. It would make Obama look good. That's why they're not passing him. So if you're going to give an argument, give both sides of the argument. Okay?
Hold on a minute, Jay. Hey, Matt. Let's give the man a chance to speak. We're talking over each other, and we're not hearing each other.
Okay, but I just want to, let's be honest. Since I'm the host of the show, I can interrupt and ask questions because he's giving me a whole lot of attacks, and I
want to, hold on. Yeah, because you put a whole lot out there, but I'll invite you to my show, and we can talk about it there, too, because this vote we're about to go through is one of the most important votes in history.
What motor company we got our money back from?
General Motors. Where you been?
For real?
Now, yeah. Do your research, black man.
Hey, Gary, this is what I'm about to illustrate to you what I said. Who owns General Motors? Answer me that question.
Now you want me to go do some Googling and some research.
Who owns General Motors?
I can't tell you who owns General Motors.
I know General Motors. General Motors is a publicly traded company, so I would think that it is incorporated.
Who owns the stock of General Motors?
I don't know who owns the majority stock of General Motors.
What does
that
have to do with us giving them a loan
because
and getting our money back
said,
and all those people maintaining their jobs and more jobs that have been created from it?
You just said we got our money back, and we have not, in fact. And, in fact, the government still owns General Motors. Go do your research. Get him out of here.
The government does not. I got to tell you what. Like I said, I don't have enough time to get back with you on it. I'll post my email in your room, and I'll send you the information on it, because there I know you're wrong.
I'm talking about, Jerry, when I say that it's not the fact that this man right here, he knows what he's talking about when he does his research. But when you come out your mouth and say stuff like, we got all our money back from General Motors. No, we didn't. Where'd you get that one from? That's what I'm trying to tell you, Jerry. You can't make statements like that. And then if I call him ignorant, you guys say, you shouldn't call black people ignorant. He is ignorant. He doesn't know.
Black people are not ignorant. It's just a person can't carry around everything in their mind. You might have done your research on that particular subject. Okay, now I'll tell you one that I believe is one of the most important things that happened in history, which you are totally against also from what you said before, and that is the fact that everyone in America will be covered with life insurance. I happen to live in a country I've lived under that, and I know it works.
But at what cost?
You get enough people in the system, the cost will go down for your medical care in America.
I guess you can laugh about
that all day long. It's a proven fact.
This is the same thing that my mother told me when they said about welfare.
Has nothing to do with welfare.
This is common sense.
You have people dying in America because they can't get taken care of. Okay.
But both of these guys that are here, I told both of them, and they both heard me say this. I don't have a problem with people being covered by medical care. I think everybody should have it. I'm not against the poor people who legitimately don't have it. I'm good with that. The only difference is how you go about doing it. And what I'm saying is this bill, when you look at it, when you look at the facts of it and you pick the stuff out of it, it's going to kill our, it's not going to lower our debt, our debt we owe. It's going to only increase it. It's going to cost somebody. And the only people who are not going to be affected by this as much are the rich. The middle class that he said we're not going to raise no tax on the middle class, it raises taxes on the middle class.
So Mac, you're telling me that if something like this wasn't passed, the health poor, for lack of a better word or phrase, people who don't have health insurance, who are costing the country millions of dollars because they don't have health insurance because of not getting any kind of preventive maintenance or anything like that. They get under a health umbrella, which makes them healthier, which helps them prevent health costs soaring through the roof. You're going to tell me that that's not a good thing? You're going to tell me that that's going to cost us money in the long run?
Versus having
people who don't have health care that go to emergency rooms to get their health care because they don't have a health care provider.
Okay, but to be honest with you, we're doing the same thing with this bill. We're all paying for it, and it's not going to reduce everything. It's not going to reduce our deficit. It's going to add more taxes. The people who are going to catch it is us. Because we're not making enough money to get out of it. Yes, the rich pay more in this, but at the same time, the tax burden is going to fall on us anyway. So all I'm saying, this is all I'm trying to say to you. What you're saying is I agree with. It is good to have people covered, right? But to throw a bill together on the Democrats for them to push and shove and throw something together, put it at us, and then put this silly lady out in front of us and actually has the nerve, the gall to say, we don't know what's in it. We need to pass it before we know what's in it. Dude, do you understand how crazy that is? That's like you going to get medicine. All of us going to get medicine, and we don't have no prescription or we don't know what the hell we taking, and we just, well, we got to buy it first before we take it.
Well, let me put it this way, Mac. Regardless of what side of the aisle you're talking on, whether it's a congressperson or someone in the Senate, do you honestly believe that when a bill comes out, whether it's introduced by whoever, that whether they support it or opposed to it, they don't know what's in that bill? Do you honestly believe that?
No. I don't think they know everything. But to be honest with you, Jerry, name me one time in history where you've ever heard anybody say we have not read it and we need to pass it first before we read it. Tell me any time in history you've heard that, in your history, your time of being alive, because I haven't heard it. I've never heard no crap like that, ever.
Heard it. You want me to bring it up?
Tell me where somebody stood out in front of saying, I don't know what it is.
We just did it with that $780 billion. They had no idea what was in that bill. They didn't even have words written into the joint. They didn't have anything written into it. So you mean to tell me it's all right for us to go ahead and bail out these banks and all these institutions for all that money they messed over. But it's a problem. It's a problem for them to come in here and take care of our own, for us to take care of our own. No, I have a fundamental issue with it. Now, I get where you're coming from. I get where you're coming from where you say.
I agree with you. I agree with everything. Here's my thing. I agree with everything you just said. But that was what I said when I illustrated my point with you, and I told you, I said, I wanted those businesses to fail. We should have let them fail. We should have let GM fall. We should have let all these guys fall. I agree with that. But remember this, the $758 billion was
right
pushed
there,
by Democrats, not Republicans. It was pushed by Republicans, by Democrats, not Republicans, and I said we shouldn't have did it. But he also said, when he passed that, said that, well, if we do this, we won't have, we won't go above 8%. So what you're saying is fundamentally, I'm right, I'm good with that. I don't have a problem with that. Here's my point, in closing, and I'm only going to say this because we don't have that much time, but let me say this to you. My thing is this. We should have done a measured approach, bipartisan, on one. And I thought Democrats.
This was bipartisan. Your man Orrin Hatch introduced this bill.
I know, but let me finish. What I'm saying to you is, I hold Republican and Democrat, Congress and Senate, responsible for the fact that we have this medical thing, because people are so partisan that they can't get together. But I think that there are parts of that bill, the Obama bill, that are good. I think there are parts of ideas that the Republicans have that are good. But both sides are hard-headed, pig-headed, and won't move. I don't think it's just one party that's doing it. I think it's both.
And to be truthful here, I see more vindictiveness toward this president than I've seen in a lot of presidents in the last half dozen presidents. This president has there's been so much vindictiveness with this president.
I agree with you, Jerry. I have never heard a Speaker of the House come out and say, we are going to defeat this president. I've never heard that, ever.
Oh, I've heard it.
I've never heard it. Please send me the YouTube link, please.
Clinton is one. They tried to put him out.
They tried to impeach him.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, they didn't come right out and say it like they're saying it now. Making innuendos and doing voter suppression and all this kind of nonsense, man. This is ridiculous.
I'm gonna ask Jerry the same question I asked and same question I asked him last time. Tell me what was said to Obama that is any different than any other president.
What?
Because I've heard.
Bro, can I get in on that?
Hold on. 70s, 80s. I heard black people didn't like a president. I heard Republican and Democrat be at each other's throat and not like a president and be trying to be vindictive
and getting
by. Yeah, but
you keep intertwining that up into what you're talking about, and it's not making any. You're not making a point.
Jay, I gotta let you go. All right.
No problem.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the call in. Really, I do. Honestly.
Mac, we got another call from the 202, and I think I know who this is. You want me to bring him in or not?
Bring him in.
Caller from the 202. Does this happen to be Mr. VG?
Yes, it is.
You come in with 10 minutes, 11, 9 minutes.
Hey, I've been on hold for about 5-10 minutes. I've been like, can I talk? But Jerry had me on mute, but it's okay.
I got nothing to do with me. I know, but I got it.
Now listen, fellas. What's up, Mike? I love you. I'm in Cali. We safe in town right now. I'm in the hotel. I got to say this, and I know I probably missed the boat on it and everything, and I know you guys were doing many other things, talking about many other things, but to the point that you just brought up, Mac, about and Jerry, as far as the quote-unquote hateration, you know, you can't say anything bad about Ronald Reagan, even though that gentleman ran this country the best he could, but he didn't really run the country. Everybody else ran it for him. His wife ran the country. He was a figurehead. I'm going to be honest. He was the only president that stood up there and, you know, he actually said, I'm going to trade these weapons for lies, where everybody else said it was wrong and crazy. Oliver North took the rap for him and was vilified because of the president. Everybody protected him. This president we have right now, no matter what he does or how good he does, you have people leaking private conversations from Air Force One, people leaking papers and notes from private meetings that are trying to undermine him. I'm not saying that the guy is the best thing since sliced bread. I'm not saying that the healthcare plan is better than sliced bread. But what I'm saying is this. The healthcare plan helps me stop paying for all those folks that don't have their own health care for whatever reason, and it makes people get up and go get their own health care plan. Now, here's the problem that conservatives and independents and Tea Partiers which bends my mind. That's what Tea Partiers and conservatives say all the time. Stop with the welfare system. But now we're saying because we want to take care of everybody, we want to make sure everybody has their own health care, we're forcing government on them. No, it's just telling them be more responsible and do what you're supposed to do to take care of yourself. So that's my problem with this whole conservative, independent versus liberal. It's not Obamacare. It's not Obamacare. What it is the president did something the Republicans have been saying for years, and now the Republicans are saying, no, it's socialism, because you're making us, you're forcing us to do it. But isn't that what conservatives have said since eons? You take care of yourself, I take care of myself, and we are capitalists, and we make our own money, you make your own choices. All he's saying is, now go do it, because you've been saying it all this time. and we're going to force you to do it. So that's the bottom line. So why are independents and conservatives so up in arms about a bill that even the most conservative chief justice said yes, okay, because of the taxation of it, it's legal. You know, and even O'Reilly was like, what's the matter with Roberts? Do we need to, you know, do something with Roberts because he did this? Oh no, we can't do that. He just, because it was tackled, he did. We can let him slide on it. But I mean, this is the bill that Republicans are like, hey, he's finally saying, he's making sense to me. Make these lazy people go out and take care of themselves so that if I'm working, I don't got to pay for their health care every time they go to the hospital because their child got, like, the sniffles. My premiums are going up.
No, I give you that. But to be honest with you, the plan is the same thing as doing that anyway. Because I think the problem that I don't like about the bill is that everybody's paying for a small segment of the people who don't have health insurance. When to me, what I think would have been better is if they had made a plan that was separate, that those people can make them go get on it, and then you, if you want to pay for it, go ahead and pay for it. But everybody shouldn't have to pay for it. Everybody shouldn't bear the burden of the people who
you
are,
already paying that burden.
Yeah, already
you already paying
yeah,
that.
We already do that. Amen.
We
already do. Because right now, I can tell you right now, I've got five very close friends. They're out of work, they have kids, and they don't have health care. And my premiums, and I'm in the military, my premiums go up because I have to take care of them and their family. They're on Medicare, and stuff like that. So I'm already doing that. So in order for me to not have that go up, the president is saying, you, go get your own.
So guess what? So now the premiums and everything are going to go up now because we're in this bill. You watch what I say. If this goes, if he stays another 4 years and we go down the road with this, I promise you 4 or 5 years from now, you'll be saying, damn, premiums did go up. Damn, the things that were supposed to be going up don't go down anymore.
4 or 5 years from now, the premiums going to go up anyway.
So that's my point.
I'm paying higher premiums than I paid 5 years ago already.
The argument that he's making is saying that it's better now because of this. I'm saying we're doing the same thing. It's the same thing as what he just explained.
I see somebody in the chat room is telling me 56 million without health insurance. 56 million people without health insurance.
It's 32. It ain't
well,
no 56. That was a good
well,
one.
Let me put it this way. 32 million, if 56, 32 million, whatever it is, that you know how much of a big financial burden that is on society?
You know how big a financial burden this bill is going to be?
but 1.7
trillion in 10 years. That's going on the deficit.
You're right, Matt. You're right about the money, that's where it's going. However, what you're missing is the fact that if you're forcing these guys to go out there, guys and ladies to go out there and finally take responsibility for themselves as opposed to the government.
I don't have a problem with that. Then make a separate thing. Don't make it drag everybody into it. Make them do that.
Everybody needs to get in now.
Hold on, Mike. I'm going to say this. You're right. Then why haven't the conservatives come up with a plan already to put that forth? They've had, what,
they
2 years?
They got nothing.
Let's be honest.
2 years.
Let's be honest.
Good point. Hey, Mac.
We got a little more than a minute left, and I suggest we do a part two to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do a part two. We have to do a part two to this because I really
overtime. Damn.
Well, you know what? He called and asked me what we're going to do, an hour and a half or an hour, and I said an hour because I knew I was going to have to coach this game out here at the Goodman tonight, so I couldn't go longer. But I will say this. I want every one of y'all to come back next time, and we'll do an hour and a half show because I really do think an hour just doesn't do it justice. But I want to thank all you guys, man, for coming on, man, really. Vic, I'm glad we got you. I'm mad we got you in late. My man, I can't remember your name, but I definitely want you back on because I like the way you come at it. We can
Mick
all agree to disagree at the end. So I just want to tell everybody, man, thanks for being on the show tonight. Please come back. We are going to do this again, and we're going to do an hour and a half show, I promise you. And I will let Jerry know. In the meantime, thank you all. God bless you. And ain't nothing wrong with Obama. He getting the same thing everybody else got. Ha-ha, see that at the end of the show.
See ya.
Bye.
All right.